The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Genesis.
Oops,
the creation. And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other, and God said, "That's good." Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens, and the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world, and God said, "That's good." Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet. And God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed out the valleys and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world, and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes, and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands, and the thunders roiled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted, and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky, and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again, and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, "Bring forth, bring forth." And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun, and he looked at his moon, and he looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things, and God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think, by a deep, wide river where he sat down with his head on his hands. God thought and thought, till he thought, "I'll make me a man." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there, the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children. You have set up forces against your enemies, signs of the power of the angels.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses.
What are your forethoughts that you should be mindful of them? Human beings that you should care for them.
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field.
The birds in the air, fish in the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, Trinity Sunday is not the easiest Sunday for preachers. A few generations ago, maybe not even that long, congregations had often had the practice of reciting the Athanasian Creed on this Trinity Sunday. The creed that was printed in our green LBW that took about 7 pages. And because of that long creed, there were congregations that, 55-minute service. And so when you said that very long creed, you had only time for a very short sermon. And that was helpful to pastors preaching on Trinity Sunday because it's really difficult to preach on a doctrine, an idea, rather than on a story or an image in scripture that's a little bit easier, an event. But since the Athanasian Creed didn't make it to the Red Book, I have to preach a sermon. Albert Einstein once said that everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. I think that's good advice for preachers trying to preach on this Sunday. Shamrocks, maybe you've seen that used in a Trinity Sunday sermon, or a triangle, or all these other images of threes that we have. That will help in a way, but it really only tries to make it too simple, I think. It tries to describe God rather than enter into a relationship with God. I think this Trinity Sunday offers us an opportunity to look rather than at a description of God, rather to look at what God does. Trinity Sunday is really a celebration, a dance, a song about what God does, about God's relationship with his creatures. God has sent his spirit, his creating spirit, into all circumstances, into all physical locations of the universe, all perceptions, all of time. God has so much more in store for us than simply understanding this concept of Trinity. God wants us to enter into the dance with him. I'm participating in a grief group with San Diego Hospice. I'm about in the middle of this 10-week program called Day by Day. And tomorrow is my turn to share my story of Don. And everybody in the group, there's about 12 people, I guess, in the group, everybody gets 15 minutes. And they're supposed to bring photos or mementos of some sort and tell the story so that people can get an idea of who your loved one was. Now, of course, this is very difficult for me because everything I pick up thinking, oh, this would tell a good story of Don, a photo or a book, a CD, a little memento or something, it all seems so limited. It just doesn't really tell the story. All those one-dimensional items don't reveal Don's spirit, his joy, his faith, his love. He was so much more than the sum total of his hobbies or interests or his work with the church, his love of the church, even his many relationships with family and friends. I'm sure I'll come up with something by tomorrow night to use my 15 minutes to help people know a little bit about Don, but it will be such a little bit. There's a great difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. Being in a relationship with someone you love and someone who loves you is poles apart from knowing about someone and just knowing about that person. And the many different roles that a person plays shows us some facet of the other person. And we can know that person in one way, friend, coworker, colleague, confidant, spouse. All of those facets show us something. And the more facets that we see or experience or are connected to, the more we can understand and have a deeper revelation of who that person is. This is true of God, too. The more facets of God's work, God's handiwork, God's creation, God's relationship, the more experiences we can have, the better we know that person. We live in a relationship with God, and every way that God comes to us, we can know God better. not just understanding, well, what is the Trinity, but understanding the relationship that we have with God. We heard that delightful version of the first chapters of Genesis in the reading that Brenda did by James Weldon Johnson. His style of writing gives a fresh interpretation of that first creation story. This reading is done on Trinity Sunday to help us know a facet of God. What a majestic description of God this is. The writer of the first book of Genesis, and centuries later, James Johnson, had made no attempt to separate who God is from what God does. God is revealed in his life-giving creation, a theme that reaches its pinnacle with God creating humankind and then placing all of creation in responsibility of that creation, of that humankind that he has created. And like God himself, we humans will also be known by our part in creation, what we do with creation. How are we taking care of this wonderful world that God has made? Are we using it in such a way that it will be spent and spoiled, even destroyed by our choices? Some people who study these things go so far as to point to the natural disasters that we have experienced in our world in just the past couple weeks and draw a direct line back to choices that humans have made. Now, some of that's probably true. I'm not a scientist, and I don't understand all of that, but if we look at our world and God's command to us to care for the world and to tend it, how are we doing? How are you doing with your part in creation? How are you participating in saving the planet, in making that creation of God a continuation? That we are given as humans the responsibility to care for this earth that God has given to us. In that passage that we heard from Matthew's gospel, it seems very appropriate to be paired with that creation story. They're both very appropriate for Trinity Sunday. The Bible has many references to three persons of the Trinity individually, and by many names we know God. But this is the only passage in Scripture that puts that in this Trinitarian formula, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I think there's another reason that the church chooses this reading for this Sunday. This is the first Sunday of the season that we call in the church seasons, the time after Pentecost. And the green season, although today, feast day, we wear white and have white pyramids, but starting today is the season after Pentecost. And because we had such an early Easter this year, we will have the longest season of Pentecost ever. 6 months, a little over 6 months of this season. And all of that time, our scripture focuses on the mission of the church. It's the time of growth in the church. So what are we so supposed to be as the church? What are we supposed to be about? And I think this gospel reading today really gives that clue, no, not clue, that direction for us. What are we to do? We are to go, make disciples, baptize. That is what we as followers of Jesus are to do. That's our mission and our ministry in the world today. So we can ask ourselves the question on this: How are we doing with that? How are we carrying out Jesus' final instructions to make disciples? What are you doing personally to follow that command of Jesus? His final words that we have recorded in Matthew's gospel, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the third time in Matthew's gospel that we are given this promise that Jesus will be present, that Jesus is with us. The first time comes even before Jesus is born. The angels appear to Joseph in a dream and tell him, don't worry about marrying your fiance, Mary, who is with child. And the angel goes on and quotes Isaiah, saying, look, a virgin will conceive a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So that's the first promise. Jesus is to be born, and God is with us. And then the second promise comes through Jesus' words himself during his time of ministry. And he says to his followers, wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I will be with you. So we get this promise from Jesus that whenever we gather in his name, whenever we put our heads together in Jesus' name, the presence of Jesus is there. Jesus is with us. And then today we hear this third promise. When Jesus says, even though my physical body is gone from you, remember, I will be with you always. I will be with you always. I love this good news. I think that there isn't any better good news for my heart and soul to hear as this promise. Emmanuel, God is with us. I will be with you wherever you gather in my name, and I will be with you always. And don't just hear that always as always meaning ever and ever, but hear it also as always. I will be with you in all ways. God so desires us to know him, to love him, to be in a relationship, to enter into that dance of life-giving relationship, that God is not limited by our descriptions. God is not limited by our categories and even our ability to understand. No matter how many things I lay out on that table tomorrow night, my grief group will not know Don like you knew him and like I knew him. No matter how long I would talk, they would never understand who he is and know him like you did, like I did, because they didn't have a relationship with him. That's true with God, too. I could talk for 55 minutes and describe God. I don't know if I could. But even though I might try, it's your relationship with God that gives you the understanding. It's the relationship with God that God wants us to have. Those folks tomorrow will not know Don because they've never danced together. They've never talked together. The pictures or whatever I take don't capture the real him, the real person. And so true with us. Unless we enter into a dance with God, a relationship with him, we can't know him either. No matter what names we call God, God is always responding. God is responding always and in all ways. God is creator, redeemer, sanctifier. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is rock, brother, inspirer. God is mother, teacher, breath. God is, and we can go on and on Thanks be to God for those many names that we call out, and God is always answering. Thanks be to God for those many ways that God reveals that God self to us, that God who loves us and calls us to join in a dance, in a relationship, to be in that relationship with God. Thanks be to God for this celebration of dance of the Trinity on this day. Amen.